With Dan Savage, Rob McKenna, and Melanie McFarland, I'm Bill Radke. How do we honor our past when our past wasn't always honorable? I talked this week to civil rights leader Reverend Jesse Jackson about the modern racial protests on campuses, including Western Washington and the University of Washington. I played him tape of Husky senior Pauka Shabale telling me she feels oppressed and intimidated by the school's treatment of students of color, and one example is the big George Washington statue at an entrance to campus.
In the black community, and the interactions that George Washington had with the black community was through slavery. And he is being worshipped and praised at the University of Washington because he was the first president of the United States.
That George Washington statue is big, right, as you enter Red Square. We're not just talking about a plaque. Do you think the statue should just come down?
You see, that's a decision to be made at this level. But let me submit to you that when you have the statue and up on it, the lettering, the writing extols upon him great virtue and does not mention slave master, does not mention the support for a crime against humanity. That's a big piece of it, too. At least educate people as to who this guy was, you know. Now, in some instances, people want to pull the statues down. Some other instances, people want to preserve the statue and, in fact, inscribe the character. It's the tension of our times, still learning how to live together.
George Washington, first president of the United States, slave master, on the plinth, on the statue.
Yeah. At least you know where he is.
This is a serious conversation also happening at Princeton University, where they're talking about removing President Woodrow Wilson's name from a school and a dorm complex. Let's start with George Washington. Melanie, remove the statue, add to the statue, leave the statue alone?
This is my point of view individually, and I'm not speaking for black people as a whole. But at some point, you just have to kind of look and say, how far do we want to go with this? Now, the founding fathers of this country owned slaves. And if you don't know this by the time you, and you're not completely aware of this by the time you get to the university level, that is appalling. And that is more, I would think that the bigger issue is making sure that history is not whitewashed in our elementary schools and in our, you know, our primary education. There was that instance with the McGraw-Hill textbooks that was brought to light in October where slavery was characterized as part of immigration and migration.
Workers.
Coming over, workers migrated over from Africa to help us build this country. No, that is not what, and pointing that out, and McGraw-Hill saying, well, we'll change it on the electronic textbook level, and eventually we'll change it in our the physical textbooks, but that's going to take a decade. So this is something that's a bigger problem.
And they did that because conservatives are constantly mau-mauing textbook companies about seemingly unpatriotic or making the country look bad. So you just know that they were trying to get out ahead of conservative criticism by downplaying how all these Africans wound up
exactly
in the colonies in the first place.
Exactly. And even more than that, I mean, and when I say on a systematic level, you know, I recently just read there was a teacher who received an honor, who was featured in the Washington Post. And one of the things she pointed out was 80% of the educators that our children will encounter during the course of their primary education is that they're going to be white people, largely female, and they're going to be teaching from textbooks that really teach the perspective of, you know, a largely white version of history. So it is really up to the individual educators and the individual schools to make sure that that's more balanced out, to actually reflect that, yes, people of color also had a role in this country, not just through labor and slavery and other types of servitude, but also through innovation, also through contributions to culture.
Okay.
Those are the things that I think that's more important to me,
yes,
than what's going to happen to a statue.
You're saying a bigger issue is how we learn about this from a young age in school. I still wonder, Rob McKenna, what we do with historical figures who were great leaders and committed crimes against humanity and all kinds of things in between.
Well, I don't think that George Washington's statue is on campus to celebrate the fact he was a slave owner.
You can't tell by looking at it.
We know why it's there. It's there because it's the University of Washington, named after Washington State, which is named after George Washington. And I think there's a risk that if this becomes the central debate, should Washington's statue stay or go?
It's not central. It's just an example.
Right.
Go on.
But it will become the central issue. It'll become a distraction from the extremely important issues which are being raised by students of color at the UW who find that it's still not a comfortable place for them to be. And this one student is citing the statue as a factor, but there got to be other factors as well.
Oh, we talked about much more, curriculum, the faculty,
sure.
Safe
so
spaces.
That's where I would put the energy. Okay. And I think those voices need to be heard because those are the voices that matter. I can't relate to the experience of a person of color, a student of color at the UW, because I wasn't one. But if that's what they're saying in numbers, then that needs to be heard and needs to be addressed. And I think that the university is beginning to, or has been taking steps to do so, as the current president has recently announced.